You sing pretty well. I was a Methodist before I became a Unitarian Universalist minister, so I have kind of a history of singing and knowing when a congregation sings well, and you do. And that's a gift. That's a gift. I should disclose that I'm a Chicago Bears fan. But your team did way better than my team this year, so, you know, we'll just leave it at that. It's good to be with you today. You have a good energy here and a beautiful place, a beautiful congregation, and thank you for welcoming me to share some thoughts today. The evolution of humanity. Some years I wonder whether humanity really is evolving, but I have made it a spiritual practice over many years to explore the impacts of Charles Darwin's evolutionary ideas around his birthday each February. Since Darwin had connections to Unitarianism, especially from his mother's family, our movement has long claimed him to be one of our own, even if science generally interested him far more than religion. Progressive religion has usually been more interested in the social corollaries of evolutionary thought than in the hard science, but so many Unitarian Universalists are scientists that the core theory of change over time is an underlying assumption for most UUs. UUs also can be quite competitive, perhaps illustrating the survival of the fittest. As a feminist, I have appreciated the drawing, which I'm sure you've seen, of a fish climbing out of the water, morphing into an ape, then a man, and ultimately into a woman. I'm not sure where bisexual and transgender persons would fit in that drawing, but if we are truly evolving as a species, I would hope that persons of every orientation and gender expression, as well as every color and ethnicity, can join hands in a great circle of acceptance. Now, personally, I have no problem accepting hairier ancestors whose knuckles may have dragged on the ground. And I have to admit that in my less enlightened days, I may have been accused once or twice of knuckle dragging myself. I've often watched chimps and apes and orangutans at various zoos, including one at the Oakland Zoo, I'm sure, about 2 decades ago, and seen signs of significant levels of native intelligence and creativity, often likely dulled by the boredom of captivity. Whether our direct line of ancestors climbed down from the trees or lived on the savanna, the connections between humans and other primates, both at the genetic and the physical level, it's hard to ignore. Perhaps humanity was seeded long ago by some early space-faring society, but we likely did evolve from ape-like ancestors millions of years ago. And our capacity for rational and symbolic thought has dramatically increased over the millennia. Our ability to organize, regulate, and sustain large hives, cities, has increased immensely. And our ability to create and use tools has increased from simple stone hammers and blades through wood and metal and concrete construction to multiple parallel processors. Now, I jumped over a couple of things there. And do you do dream work? Do you pay attention to your dreams? Well, I had this sort of a dream half-waking thing happen early this morning where I had this vision of a Neanderthal walking into one of the tool aisles at Home Depot. Now, don't get too stuck on that, but just think about that. Actually, erase that. Not helpful. Our weapons have also become amazingly complex. Going from rocks to arrows and spears to swords and knives to guns and cannons and on to rapid-fire machine guns, thence to immense guns on battleships and onward to missiles launched from ships, planes, submarines, and out of underground silos. In the Vietnam era, we sang, When will they ever learn part of where have all the flowers gone? And I wonder whether humanity really has learned much about war and peace. We can trace the evolution of human society from the period of hunter-gatherers through the early agrarian societies into the feudal period of warlords and kings and into the period of early Greek and Roman democracies. On many scales of measure, we have evolved at an amazing rate, especially in the last few thousand years. Many would argue that the representative democracy created by our founding fathers remains the most successful and egalitarian example of democracy in Earth history. And yet, skeptics that we UUs are, many of us continue to find the flaws of injustice, inequality, racism, sexism, and socioeconomic disparity. Our nation may be the best so far, but it could be so much better. We can also trace evolution in religions from beliefs in demons and spirits to pantheism and then on to monotheism. The Abrahamic religions of the book have been particularly aggressive at times in their efforts to expand. The Jews have captured the Holy Land a few times over the last 3,000 years or so. Christians have conquered much of the world at one time or another. Muslims have expanded by conquest through the Middle East into Indonesia, parts of Asia, and at one time into Europe. Today, most Muslims, Jews, and Christians are all peaceful, but some are not, particularly certain fundamentalists. It's the lack of progress on pollution, though, that really makes me wonder whether humanity is evolving, or at least whether humanity is evolving quickly enough to avoid mass destruction on a par with the meteor that likely killed the dinosaurs and with previous explosions of the supervolcano now under Yellowstone National Park. Recent evidence of increasing world temperatures, changing climate patterns, melting ice caps, and storm intensification have not yet been sufficiently dramatic to draw enough attention to the rapidly changing realities of Earth life. And yet, many climate scientists suggest that we have already crossed the line beyond which we cannot stop or even slow the increasing effects of pollution, greenhouse gases, and climate change. Population growth, political disruptions in food distribution, and changes in the ability of many areas to even grow food or to sustain populations due to depleted aquifers are also becoming increasingly problematic in many areas of the world. You all know this stuff. Thank you for letting me share it. With business, religious, and political interests so tied up in the effort to gain power over others, and with such great disparities in wealth within and between nations, what is humanity evolving toward? History, with its recurring cycles of nationalism, religious persecution and conquest, empire building, famine, epidemic, and natural disasters, certainly does not provide an unambiguous journey of progress. The early 20th century effort by mostly Unitarian ministers to describe the best of human values in the Humanist Manifesto of 1933 was attacked for taking God out of the equation. Humanists, especially those who are atheists, have been keeping a low profile in society for decades, often vilified by fundamentalist Christians and ostracized from civil engagement in many venues. But what if humanism offered the evolutionary progress that could deliver humanity from superstition and help to create truly egalitarian society? Even Unitarian Universalism, which has for so long provided a religious home for humanists, continues to move away from humanism and into a period of greater spirituality. With so many religions and spiritual groups focusing on spirituality, are we making a mistake trying to be so much more like other traditions? At times over the last few years, I have grown concerned that UUism may be devolving rather than evolving, going backwards in the quest for growth, becoming more interested in numbers rather than in continuing to offer a place that is uniquely accepting of a wide range of theological and philosophical perspectives, as well as a range of lifestyles. The current divisions in human society, religious, political, and socioeconomic, are wider than ever in my awareness, and I've been around a while. Is this evolution? I suppose that just as the evolution of species does not always result in forward progress, one could argue that there have been and will be dead ends and missteps in human societal evolution. I'm kind of hoping that we will not do ourselves in or create a world that is unlivable for our descendants. I'm not yet ready to cede the earth to the cockroaches who will undoubtedly survive whatever calamities befall humanity. On the other hand, I would like to see us send out at least a few human volunteers to form colonies on appropriate M-class planets. I might even volunteer myself if it happens soon enough. The developing world may never reach the level of comfort we have enjoyed in the first world for decades. We expend an inordinate amount of money on the military-industrial complex, on weapons and military in this country. We have long neglected mass transit in favor of our individual cars and trucks. We continue to use up natural resources at an alarming rate, feeding the fires of a kind of consumerism never before seen on the earth. We have lots of stuff to show for our long hours, our unbelievable level of indebtedness, and our huge houses. We have way more stuff than we need or can even use. And yes, I absolutely am talking about myself as much as about anyone else. Too much stuff. What we most deeply lack is the quality of life that we say we are seeking. Here, I think, is the great test of where we are in evolutionary terms. Our consumerism has created in us hungers for stuff that can never be satisfied. Our various means of entertainment can keep us occupied in mindless activities 24 hours a day. Our social isolation causes us to describe ourselves in tweets and clips and updates and sound bites, to connect over the internet through the various social networking and matchmaking sites. We do not take time for real relationships. We are merely persona in the various venues where we do not really meet. Our society is dominated by corporations, and our elected officials are often indebted to corporate sponsors that have helped them get the name recognition they need to get elected. For us to get ahead in modern terms means to obligate ourselves to banks, which finance our cars and houses and our children's education. We live in the modern era of feudal servitude, working for corporations to serve the banks who really control things. Okay, it may not be quite that bad, but often it seems close, doesn't it? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness were revolutionary ideas, evolutionary hopes, goals, and dreams. Somehow, even with all the stuff most of us have accumulated, even with the honors we have gathered, most of us would have a hard time arguing that we are really happy, free, and fully alive. What would it mean for us to be truly evolved as individuals, as a society, as a species? It seems to me that a truly evolved society will have a place where each person can excel at what he or she does best and receive enough compensation to have a decent life for his or her efforts. Meaningful work is tremendously important for individuals and humanity, for when we cannot take satisfaction in what we do, we lose some of our humanity. Philosophers, authors, composers, and the stonemasons of great cathedrals often leave something durable behind. They make a mark that those who work on assembly lines and in factories and at Walmart may not leave. There is something each of us can do that has meaning. But today, much of the good goes unrecognized. Within society, we have evolved a social contract of laws, rules, and civil behavior, which largely keeps the peace and allows all persons to have a good and long life. That's evolution. We have a relatively small police force to remind us of our civil obligations and to deal with infractions. We have civil and criminal courts at several levels to deal with injustices of various kinds. That's social evolution. We live in a successfully civil and evolved society, as do billions of people around the world. We have made significant progress on racial injustices in my lifetime, though too many black men are still incarcerated. We have made progress in the relationship between men and women in homes and in the workplace. We have made progress even against homophobia and heterosexism, and there are signs that marriage equality is not far away. Humanity really has progressed amazingly in its journey from the trees, caves, and savanna to modern society. Now, if we could just get far enough down the road to see the importance of stopping pollution, recycling, growing more trees, eating lower on the food chain, and living more ecologically sustainable lives. Air and water quality has deteriorated some, and many forests and other green spaces have disappeared during my lifetime. But there are also many signs of hope. The intentionality of persons using mass transit or driving hybrid or high mileage, low pollution vehicles is inspirational. In many cities, there are efforts to create safer housing and shopping areas to encourage people to move back into the inner city, which will result in less pollution from commuting. Co-housing projects and sustainable communities are more prevalent now than they have been for a long time. Human safety net programs are often targets for funding cuts, but the Affordable Health Insurance Program is at least a step in the right direction to become a society more person-oriented. I guess overall, it is a mixed bag of progress and the lack thereof. The evolution of humanity has been almost as slow as genetic evolution if you consider the millions of years of human existence, but the most obvious signs of progress have come in the last few thousand years, with several instances of regression. The challenge for us moving forward is to continue to search out the ways that we can help humanity evolve in a positive direction. As individuals and even as a religious movement, it often seems that we cannot make much impact, yet we must continue to try. In the face of daunting challenges of pollution and overpopulation, as well as the continuing disagreements between groups and nations, it will be a long uphill struggle to create a peaceful world that can provide meaningful work and lives for all. We are called to do all that we can. Each step we take will make a difference. Each time we recycle, each time we make an effort to clean up the earth or plant a tree, each time we walk or ride a bike or take mass transit rather than driving, will make a difference and will model healthier behavior for others. I want to leave you with three short quotes. We must become the change we want to see in the world. Author unknown but attributed to both Mahatma Gandhi and Charles Darwin. It is not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the most responsive to change. Charles Darwin, 1835. Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world, for indeed that's all who ever have. Of course, Margaret Mead. May we become the change that will make enough of a difference to make our world truly sustainable. So may it be. Amen, and thank you.